Good morning. My name is Aurora, and I will be your conference operator for today. Participation in this conference call is strictly limited to invited participants. This call is exclusively for financial analysts and investors. If you are not an invited guest, please disconnect at this time. At this time, I would like to welcome you to the conference call on report on economic activity, public finances, and public debt as of the third quarter of 2020. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a questions and answers session. If you would like to make a question during this time, please press star 8 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press star 8 again. I will now introduce you to the speakers, Iván Cajeme Villarreal Camero, Chief Economist of the Ministry of Finance and Public Credit, and José de Luna Martínez, Head of the Public Debt Unit of the Ministry of Finance and Public Credit, to proceed with their remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you, everyone, for connecting to this phone call. I hope I send you and your loved ones my best wishes. I hope you're all doing well. Here is all the team ready to talk to you about what we have seen the past quarter and a little bit of what we're seeing more recently. So I'm going to proceed as follows. First, I'm going to tell you about how we saw the economic recovery in the third quarter, both in global terms and here for Mexico. Then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about public finances for the third quarter and also some figures for the debt, the public debt, how it has evolved. And then I want to go back to talk to you about some recent actions taken by the federal government that are going to be important in the upcoming months, and also a little bit about some figures we're seeing with high-frequency data, which are important for the recovery. So as of third quarter, as you know, we saw better than expected figures for the GDP for the United States, a quarter-on-quarter growth of 7.4%, that is before analyzing, as we measure it. It's an important recovery. Retail sales are already at pre-pandemic levels. Employment between May and September has recovered close to 55% of the 22 million jobs that were lost between March, April. And we have had a decrease in employment rate for six consecutive months. In the Eurozone, industrial production in August is already at 93% of 2019 levels. Retail sales are also already at pre-pandemic levels. And in China, of course, we saw already an annual growth since the second quarter. Back then, the growth was 3.2%. And now in the third quarter, we saw a growth annual growth of 4.9%. What are we seeing in Mexico? Just recently, the preliminary figure for third quarter GDP was released by INEGI. As you know, we saw a quarterly growth of 12% in real terms, very important, better than expected as well by analysts and by some institutions. We saw a recovery in all sectors. The secondary sector in particular showed a pretty strong recovery of 22%. The tertiary sector, 8.6%, lower, of course, since it is the one that was most affected by the pandemic and still going to be affected because it involves more contact between between people. And then the primary sector also increased 7.4%. This is recovery, as we have said many times, just the result of the reopening, the orderly reopening, gradual reopening of activities. For the essential ones that were incorporated into the ones that were already defined back in March, which is mining, construction, and manufacture of transport equipment. These are very important. They represent 56% of GDP and 60% of total employment. But then other activities have been reopened ever since July, August, September, carefully. And this has also helped for the figures. Exports grew 50.2% between the third quarter and the second quarter. And there in September, actually, they were already higher than September last year in 3.7%. Industrial production is at 91% of 2019 levels as of August. Wholesale and retail sales are close to 90% of 2019 levels as of August. We are seeing, I want to just highlight here the important transformation of the economy that we are witnessing. In August, we saw an increase of 66% in annual terms, real terms, in retail sales that took place exclusively through internet, catalog, and some other media like that. It is very important. It is very relevant, the transformation of the economy that's taking place, and we're going to continue seeing figures like this in the next months. It is expected by some analysts that e-commerce grows in Mexico 45% this year compared to 2019. So this figure for August reflects exactly that. And that sales reported by the department stores and supermarket stores are pretty much at 99% of 2019 levels as of September. You know, they have pretty much recovered now. And employment, as reported by INEGI, 7.8 million jobs have been recovered in September compared to the ones that were lost in April. That's close to 63% of the loss. And we saw also an important figure in September. Most of the recovery came from the formal sector as opposed to the previous months. We saw a recovery of the total 670,000 jobs that were recovered just in September. 420,000 were from the formal sector. So that's important. That's a very important fact. And I'm also going to tell you a little bit about what we are seeing in October later. We have seen a decrease in the number of people who are underemployed. That is, they are working less hours than they would like to. From the 13 million that we saw in May, the worst month, 5 million more people are working full time, which also helps. Means more income for them to spend. We also have some figures for investment and private consumption. As you know, they show a significant delay. We now have only figures until July, but it's an important recovery what we are seeing. So for gross fixed investment, for example, in June and July, adding those up, the investment increased close to 21% compared to April and May, if we take both months together. And private consumption increased 7.4%, same if we take June and July together compared to April and May together. Prices, in terms of prices, the average headline core inflation have been within Bank of Mexico's target rate. The average, I mean, for the whole quarter. So, for example, the headline inflation for the third quarter, the average one was 3.9%, and the core inflation was 3.94% on average in the third quarter. This has allowed Bank of Mexico to reduce their rate. As you know, during the third they reduced it 75 basis points to 4.25 in the third quarter. There's still some uncertainty about what next step is going to be on November 12th. We are paying close attention to whether Bank of Mexico continues reducing its rate or keeps it that way. It's uncertain at this time, but there seems to be room still for further reductions, given that expectations for medium and long term are well anchored to a level within the Bank of Mexico's target rate. Now, moving on to the public finances for the third quarter. First, let me talk to you about the revenues. Budgetary revenues of the public sector were lower by 236 billion than those programs, and lower in 5.4% in real terms versus 2019. Tax revenues, and this is very important, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this. Tax revenues were down 0.9% taking January to September compared to the same period previous year. 0.9% in real terms. This is very important. We We have probably not stressed it enough. In the previous, what we saw in previous episodes, in previous contractions, previous crisis, was a much higher drop in tax revenues. So, for example, in 1995, the elasticity of tax revenues to the GDP contraction was 2.8. In 2002, what we saw was an elasticity of 2.2. Right now, what we're seeing is an elasticity, if we take just the first three quarters, of 0.09, which is 20 times less than the one we saw in 2002. So, for example, if we apply the same or even a smaller elasticity than the one we saw in 2002, if we took an elasticity of 2 to this year's episode, what we will be seeing will be a contraction in tax revenues of close to 500 billion pesos in pesos of 2020. Instead, we are seeing a contraction of around 20 billion pesos in constant 2020 pesos. Between 2019 and 2020. This is very important, and it is the result of many actions and changes in policy, in tax policy and tax administration that we undertook since 2019. So, for example, we've talked about this before. For example, it was elimination of the universal compensation. That was important. It's meaning more revenues, and we are seeing the full impact this year because last year they were still allowed to use their balances up until the end of 2018, firms I mean. We're also seeing the increase in risk perception coming from some changes in the law, the increased tools for the SAT and for the Procuraduría Fiscal to fight tax evasion, to fight tax fraud. That's also helping, of course, the elimination or reduction of some fiscal expenditures. All of that, all of those changes, permanent changes in tax policy and in tax administration are what are helping revenues now and are being very important to support the expenditure needed for important programs such as health, physical investment, et cetera. Another thing that it's important to mention to you is that we saw a recovery in the third quarter in tax revenues compared to the second quarter. Tax revenues increased by 12 billion pesos between the second and the third quarter. It's not a really big increase, but what we had seen in previous year was actually a decrease between the second and the third quarter in tax revenues. So just for example, in 2019, the decrease was of close to 85 billion pesos. So this recovery, this increase in 12 billion pesos is in line with the recovery that we saw in the quarter. Now, oil revenues, as you know, have been particularly hit. The price has been much lower than the one we programmed, $49 per barrel. It's better than the one we saw in April for sure, which was an average of around $11, $12 per barrel, but it's still lower than what we expected. And also, mobility has been increased. Has decreased because of social distancing measures and lower expected demand. So oil revenues are down 45.7% in annual terms and are below those programmed by 308 billion pesos. In the third quarter, we used, I talked to you about this. We said we were going to use the resources in the stabilization fund. We used 119 billion pesos, as I mentioned back then. And we're probably going to use the rest over the next month, given the gap that we're seeing in revenues. As for expenditures, the federal government's program of expenditure is up 5.1% in annual terms. Without taking into account the capital equity contribution to Pemex last year in September for 97 billion pesos. And also, it's important to mention that expenditure on subsidies, transfers, and contributions are up 6.1% in real terms year on year, which shows the support that the Mexican government has given to households and businesses during these difficult times. Operating expenditures, on the other hand, are down 3.3% in real terms, showing the emphasis on efficiency in expenditure that this administration has put. Now, non-programmable expenditure is down 4.9% taking January to September in annual terms, and it is lower by 107 billion pesos versus those programs. Most of the reduction comes from the drop in participaciones to the state, in line with the reduction in both tax revenues and the oil revenues. What we have been doing to compensate for those smaller transfers have been, first of all, the resources in the FAEF, the Stabilization Fund for the States, have been used. In the third quarter, 33 billion pesos were disbursed. And if you take all of January to September, 55 billion pesos have been disbursed. We changed back in August, in the third quarter, how the disbursement took place. Before, it was quarterly, and through a decree issued by the president, it was changed to monthly disbursement. And we also put forward an initiative. We presented a bill to the Senate to make some amendments to the financial discipline law for states and municipalities to give them more tools to address the health emergency, for example, to restructure the short-term debt to those that are in good standing, and temporarily defer long-term debt and short-term debt. So with those figures, what we see for the main balances are a surplus of 157 billion pesos for the primary balance, which is higher than the original anticipated of 88 billion, which shows also the use of some resources in funds and some assets there, some financial assets that have accumulated over time precisely for times like this. We have a deficit of 308 billion pesos for the public budgetary balance, which is lower by 110 billion than the one expected in the program. And we have a deficit of 542 billion pesos in the public sector borrowing requirements. Now, I'm going to ask my colleague, Jose Luna, to talk about that, and then I'm going to come back to talk to you about some high-frequency data.
Yes, good morning to everyone. And thank you for this opportunity to comment on the main actions taken by the federal government with regard to the management of public debt during the third quarter of 2020. During this year, debt policy has responded quickly to the challenges posed by the pandemic. In the initial phase of COVID-19, we had periods of high volatility in the local financial markets. Faced with this situation, debt policy responded quickly and adjustments were made to the government securities auction program, adapting the supply of securities to the demand of investors. In the same way, we have carried out 8 debt exchanges with the objective of ensuring liquidity and proper functioning of the markets. We have exchanged 293 billion pesos in government securities during 2020. During the third quarter of this year, we have continued to meet the financing needs of the federal government in a timely and efficient and cost-effective manner, preserving access to different sources of credit, maintaining liquidity, and preserving a solid structure of public debt. On September 14, the federal government made the inaugural issue of the first sustainable sovereign bond linked to the Sustainable Development Goals promoted by the United Nations for an amount of 750 million euros. With this issuance, the federal government inaugurates Mexico's Sustainable Financing Program. In addition, the issuance allows the country to expand its investor base by accessing international funds committed to sustainable development. This bond was placed for a 7-year term, maturing in September 2027, offering a yield to maturity of 1.6% and paying a coupon rate of 1.35%, the second lowest coupon in the history of bonds in euros issued by the federal government. The operation reached a demand of 4.8 billion euros, equivalent to 6.4 times the amount placed, and had the participation of 267 institutional investors worldwide. The placement of this bond is an important milestone in the development and innovation of market instruments for sustainable financing and confirms the confidence of international investors in Mexico. Now, let me quickly comment on the domestic market. Regarding the domestic market, on September 17, 2020, a liability management operation was carried out in the long part of the UDI bonus curve to improve the maturity profile of the federal government. The operation consisted of purchasing debt for 1,889 million UDIs, which was maturing in years 2035, 2040, and 2046, and replacing it with UDI bonus maturing in 2050. It's important to emphasize that the federal government will use all the tools at its disposal to maintain the liquidity and proper functioning of the local debt markets, and at the same time ensure federal government's financing is obtained in a timely and cost-effective manner. In the third quarter of 2020, the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirements stood at 50.7% of GDP, higher by 7.9 percentage points than the observed level at the end of 2019. And this is due to the decline of GDP during this year, as well as to the peso depreciation. With respect to the public sector's net debt, which includes the net debt of the federal government, the state-owned enterprises, and the development banks, this figure was 53.2% of GDP at the end of the third quarter of 2020. Lastly, the federal government's debt was 40.1% of GDP at the end of this quarter. The federal government's debt portfolio has low-risk indicators. For instance, the currency risk remains low, with 73.8% of the federal government's net debt denominated in domestic currency. Additionally, refinancing risk maintains a low level since the average maturity of foreign market debt is 18.4 years and the average maturity of domestic market debt is 7.5 years. And finally, interest rate risk is also limited, with 81.3% of domestic market debt held at long term and at a fixed interest rate, while 100% of the external market debt is denominated at a fixed interest rate. Thank you. I'll pass it to Cajeme again.
Thank you, Jose. So just to wrap this up, I want to talk to you a little bit about some recent actions taken by the Mexican government. Back in September 23rd, it was announced by the Minister of Finance and the National Commission for Assets and the Banking Commission, new package of measures for credit restructuring. And these are going to allow a loan restructuring with lower interest rates, an extension of payment terms, and also lower installments. These are in addition to the measures that have already allowed the restructuring of more than 8.6 million credits with that imply a total amount in the credits of 1.4 trillion pesos. On October 5th, if I remember correctly, was announced a first package of 39 infrastructure projects with a total combined investment of close to 300 billion pesos. We expect these projects to generate about 190,000 jobs, and at least, at the very least, 50% of the investment will come from the private sector. It was a very important announcement. It shows a cooperation with the private sector, just as the bill on the reform on the pension system also showed. We represented that bill, by the way. So we expect more of these packages, infrastructure packages, to come in the next month. Very important, the USMCA, regarding the USMCA, some major investments have already been announced. For example, four assemblers will invest $2 billion US dollars in Mexican plants. The Ministry of Economy is working very hard and very actively on and proactively in attracting new investments that want to take advantage of the USMCA now in place since July 1st, and also the change in the structural change in supply change around the world. They have some commitments. The Ministry of Economy has made some commitments of around $5 billion dollars. Cannot give a lot of details, but what I can tell you right now is the ones that have been public. So, for example, we have some made by Mercado Libre, close to $300 million, and Amazon of around $100 million, which are related to the development that I was already mentioning regarding e-commerce, the very important development. There are some other announcements made by Nestlé, for example, for $700 million. Just to finish a little bit about peers with high-frequency data. As of October, we saw in October a very important recovery in formal employment with data from the Mexican Institute of Social Security. As of August, around 400,000 jobs, formal jobs, have been recovered out of the 100 million that were lost in the months of April and May. But very importantly, half of these 400,000 jobs that were recovered in October, which is it's very significant. And also another very important figure that you're going to see later this month when the Social Security releases its data is that around half of this of the 200,000 jobs recovered in October came from the services and commerce sectors. Which is also very important, as you know. At the beginning, we saw recovery coming from construction, from manufacturing, some other subsectors of the industry. Now we're starting to see a strong recovery in the service and commerce. Of course, it's going to be, it will depend on how the pandemic evolves. For sure, it is, as I was saying before, these are the most, services are the most contact intensive sector, and so they're going to be particularly affected by lockdown measures and the evolution of the pandemic, which is far from over. But still, these are good signs for October. As the formal employers registered at the IMSS, as of the end of October, we are seeing 56% recovery of the 10,000 employers that were lost in the months of April and May. Just to put a little bit of context, as of October, we have 99.8% of, or again, 99.8% of the employers registered compared to the ones that were registered at the end of February. So most of the employers are still there. We haven't seen a big loss in the number of firms, big destruction of firms. In the contrary, what we were seeing is a recovery. Very importantly, 84% of the new employers registered at the IMSS in October had between 6 and 50 employees. It was important because this segment was the one that was particularly hit back in April and May. 86% of the 10,000 employers that left in those months had actually between 6 and 50 employees. So we're now seeing a recovery, a strong recovery in that sector that was particularly hit. We're seeing also a important recovery in terms of card spending, debit card, transactions made with debit card, credit card. They're already at 100% of the levels that we saw in back in January, February, pre-pandemic levels. and they are up in nominal terms 6.2% year on year in August. We are seeing some mixed results, of course. So, for example, spending on supermarkets and retail and department stores are already above the levels that we saw pre-pandemic. So supermarkets are 24% above those levels. Retail spending is 9% above February levels. And spending in department stores is 3% above than February, sorry. Then we have another group of sectors where spending is taking less, which is normal because of what we have mentioned, the pandemic. So, for example, spending in gasoline is 10% lower than February levels, and in transport is around 20% lower than February levels, and then in restaurants around 25% lower than in February levels. And then we have another group of activities that are still are taking longer to recover just because of their nature. So, for example, tourism, entertaining, and also education are below 30% of February levels. Finally, for electricity demand, which is important because it gives you a proxy of economic activity, it is also above levels that we saw in January and February. It's 17% above, and it is also already above levels that we saw in October last year, close to 3% in nominal terms. I'm going to stop here for your questions, and I thank you again for being here.
Participation